Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So we're continuing in Volume 27, 116, 1930. In fact, our divine will would not be content if Louisa, who lives in the divine will, if it were not able to let her share in all the particles, every little speck of our divine qualities as much as is possible for a creature. So here Jesus is saying, he says, God wouldn't be content if Louisa couldn't participate in everything of the divine qualities as much as possible for a soul in such a way that the soul must be able to say, you give me everything and I give back to you everything. See, we breathe in this divine will with our eyes, our ears, our nose, our senses, Jesus says. He said in Volume 36, I made the senses for God. The senses that we have are to focus on God. We're to see God, to hear God, to smell God, to taste God, to touch God. And as Catholics, we begin to do this. When we look at Jesus in the monstrance, we see God. We adore God. We love God. We praise God. We thank God. We glorify God. We worship God. This is so amazing that our senses are now being changed. When we smell the odor of sanctity through the holy incense, when we listen to the word of God, we're hearing Jesus speak to us. When we taste the host, we're tasting God. We're beginning to of this abundant life that God wants us to possess. And when we hold hands, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, I am there. And you begin to experience the presence of God in very powerful ways through our senses. And that's the thing, as you read, Jesus begins to teach us how to live his holy humanity, how to live Our Lady's holy humanity. She, God by nature, Our Lady by grace. So this is what he says. This is why then one who lives in our fiat is in your holy divine will, I can give you back all of yourself. See, we breathe this in. Why? So we can share in his divinity to give this back to God. What God gives to us, now we are doing what God is doing. We're giving this back to God. And it's he, the Lord God Almighty, that's doing it. It's his holy humanity in us. It's Our Lady's holy humanity, if you want to say, by grace in us. It's the new Adam and the new Eve that we're beginning to live this life that they gave to Louisa. This is why then the one, again, Louisa, and us linked to Louisa, hopefully, who lives in our fiat, is in the inseparable one, our inseparable one. We, triune God, feel her littleness flow in our divine power. And Louisa fills herself with our divine power as much as she can and honors our divine power because she places it in the condition of communicating itself to the creature. Okay, so here, because she places the divine will in the condition of communicating itself to mankind, again, to Louisa first. Jesus and Mary possess it, Our Lady Theotokos, Jesus, the Son of God, they possess this. But now a human born of original sin, she places the divine will in the condition of communicating itself back, communicating itself to the creature. We, triune God, feel her flow in our divine beauty, and Louisa fills herself with divine beauty. In our divine love, Louisa fills herself with our divine love and our divine sanctity, and Louisa remains filled with it, filled to overflowing, Jesus says to Louisa. But while she remains filled, she honors us, Triune God, because she places us, Triune God, in the condition of embellishing Louisa with our divine beauty, or filling Louisa with our divine love, of impressing our divine sanctity in Louisa in such a way as to place all our divine qualities in attitude. In a word, now this is what Jesus is saying to about Louisa, but he's also hoping that we would want this as well, that we would give up everything for this. She puts us, Triune God, in the condition of operating and working hard to communicate ourselves to her, working hard to communicate ourselves to her, because it is not befitting for us, Triune God, to keep Louisa in our divine will as dissimilar from God, as dissimilar from us. Adam was in God's image and likeness. That's what God is bringing back to mankind through this little newborn, Louisa. Louisa may be small. Louisa cannot enclose all our divine being. But as for sharing with her all our divine qualities, as much as is possible for a creature, in a way that nothing must be lacking to Louisa, this is possible. Do you see what Jesus is saying? This is why he keeps on saying to Louisa, I fill you to overflowing. It's a whole new life that God wants to give to mankind. But it's not new. It's the life that Adam had before the fall. And now when we, on Holy Saturday night, we go, oh, happy fault of Adam. How can we be happy by living in this state? Because what's coming is the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, the true life of Mary, the new Eve, that they gave to Louisa, the newborn. Volume 28, 4:23, 1930. My daughter, see what order there is in the creation of the whole universe. There are heavens, there are stars, there are suns. They're all ordered. Much more so in creating Adam. Our divine being stretched out the order of all our divine qualities like many heavens in the depths of Adam's soul. So we stretched out in Adam the heaven of love, the heaven of our goodness, the heaven of our sanctity, the heaven of our beauty, and so on. After we stretched out the order of the heavens of our divine qualities, our fiat in the vault of these heavens constituted itself son of Adam's soul, that with its divine light and divine heat reflected itself in Adam and was to grow and preserve our divine life in Adam forever. Adam was supposed to give this to his children. And because of the original sin, we are in a situation that's not very good. So just as our divine qualities point out our supreme being, so do these heavens stretch out in Adam, point out that Adam is our dwelling, that mankind is our dwelling. So who can tell you the way? Who can tell you the way, the love which we delighted and created man? Oh, if mankind knew who he was, who he is, what mankind possesses, oh, how mankind would esteem himself more, would be more attentive not to stain his soul with sin, and would love the one Triune God who created him with so much love, so much grace. See, Jesus said, this is the thing that the divine will does. The Book of Heaven brings us back. I mean, there's many beautiful books. There's many saintly books. I've got a library of books. They don't compare to the divine will. They don't get close to the divine will. Why? It's a saint or saints talking about what they discovered in their saintly human journey, and they put it down on paper. What this is Jesus is talking to Louisa, and he says to Louisa, this is nothing about you, Louisa. It's all about me. Jesus says, I'm going to give to the world this love that the world doesn't have for me anymore. I'm going to give back to mankind these divine qualities that the world doesn't have anymore. He says, what's happened to this point is people have had a holy, saintly understanding of God. But to live in the divine will, nobody has possessed yet. You did, Louisa. But now God wants to give this to all of us. Volume 28, 5:20, 1930. Now, just as is the creation, so is the creature a member of God. As long as the soul remains united with God, the soul then participates in all the divine qualities of God, like a member attached to the body participants in the circulation of the blood and the warmth and the motion of the same body. But who maintains this union as steady? Who maintains this union as steady, and this member, the creature attached to the Creator, as permanent and in vigor, full vigor? It's done in the divine will. Listen, full vigor and permanent union with God. See, it's coming back. It's new for us, because all we've known over the centuries is a holy life, a saintly life, a good life, doing the will of God. But to live in the will of God, this has never been known. And that's why Jesus chose Louisa. He says, you are the newborn, you're the firstborn, and through you, mankind will come back to what I wanted from the beginning, to possess this abundant life, this divine fiat that Adam lost. So Jesus says this, my divine will is the bond of union and communication, of warmth and of motion, in such a way as to make the soul feel at each motion the life of her God. Each motion, each eye blink, each heartbeat, each breath, you will feel the life of your God. And it places more than blood, the divine sanctity, the divine strength, the divine love, the divine goodness, in sum, all the divine qualities of her God in circulation with this member, with this soul. Everything begins to reign in us the way Adam had before the fall. Volume 28, 6, 18, 19, 30. Now you must know, again, this is the command from Jesus, that our love in creating Adam was so great that as soon as Adam was created, he placed us within our divine enclosures. We, triune God, gave Adam, as small Adam, the human will, immersed in the immensity of the divine will. Therefore, it was natural for him that, being a small Adam, he would have to live of divine will. So here, Jesus is showing the human will is just a speck compared to the abundant life of the divine will. And when it showed very clearly, you're not to live this life, you're to live the abundant life of the divine will. And when Adam chose his human will, I'm going to do what I want, not the life of God. When that happened, we are now cramped into this atom of the human will, where everything goes wrong. We are filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. You know, the only thing we are good at, the saints tell us, is we can sin. That's what we're good at. And Jesus says, I want to free you of that. So he comes down to redeem us, and our mother co-redeems with Christ. And now what happens? Now we're learning how to be a saint by doing the will of God with human sanctity. You know, prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, mortifying yourself, penances, you're striving for this. And Jesus says, now is the time where I'm going to bring you back to where you were before the fall to have this abundant life. So he says, our divinity said to Adam, we give you our divine will, the infinite divine will of God, at your disposal, so that the small Adam of yours may feel the need to live of the divine immensity of the divine will, to grow in its divine sanctity in the divine will, to embellish itself with its divine beauty in the divine will, to make use of its divine light in the divine will. And then therefore, seeing himself small, Adam shall feel happy to live within the enclosures of our divine will, so as to live of our divine qualities, of God's divine qualities. This, as you read, as you study, you begin to know we are nothing. We are nothing. That's why I said, you know, I did it my way is a horrible way. It's a horrible way to live. To do it God's way you're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. And at that point, you begin to return back to being filled with the divine qualities of God. Volume 28, 7, 24, 19, 30. There is nothing holier, nothing greater, nothing more beautiful, nothing more prodigious than operating in my divine will in the littleness of the soul. God's reigning in us. Through holy baptism, we are ontologically changed. We're no longer sons and daughters of Adam anymore. We become sons and daughters of God. Jesus has redeemed us. And through holy baptism, we enter into God's image. And now Jesus says, now is the time to understand how to enter into God's likeness. So what does he do? He gives the book of heaven to Louisa. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, looking at her saintly life, heroic life, we begin to understand what God has planned for us. So he says, while the divine operates, since the soul can neither enclose it nor embrace it in totality, because she is finite, therefore she does not have the capacity to enclose the divine immensity, the infinity of God, yet she can take as much as she can to the point of overflowing outside. Here Jesus explains, I want to fill you to overflowing. I want you to possess this abundant life. He says, and as it overflows, one can see the creature under the reign of divine light, of the varied, of rare divine beauties that the saints didn't possess, inside and out, and such that our divine being takes so much delight that in the divine will, that the soul is entering into this, that we, triune God, feel ourselves being enraptured. Why? God begins to see himself in the soul. We become a divine mirror of Jesus. We begin to receive the life, the living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. We enter into receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. We are being reclothed in divinity. He says it very clearly. We feel ourselves being enraptured because we see the human littleness by virtue of our divine fiat that fills it, transmutes it into divine beauties of our divine qualities that have such strength, such beauty, such holiness as to enrapture the triune God. That's how we're supposed to be. And makes us, triune God, enjoy the creature of our pure joys and unspeakable happinesses. Psalm 28:11-19:30. In creating Adam, the Creator endowed Adam with his properties, and therefore he endowed Adam with his divine love, with his divine sanctity, with his divine goodness, and he endowed Adam with intelligence and with divine beauty. In sum, we, triune God, endowed Adam with all our divine qualities, giving Adam the free will to be able to put our endowment in circulation, expanding it more and more according to how much more or less he would grow, placing also from his acts our own divine qualities as the task of work that he received in order to preserve and expand for himself the endowment given to the triune God to Adam, to be in God's image and likeness. And just imagine what the DNA of Adam looked like. The DNA of Adam was in God's image and likeness. And because of Adam's sin, he was transmuted inside and out. He lost this image and likeness of God. So now our DNA says get old, get gray-haired, wrinkled, and die, become food for worms. This was not part of God's plan. And after 2,000 years, now Jesus has said to his church, I give you Louisa. That's why the Vatican wrote that book. The Son of my divine will, S-U-N of my divine will, is Louisa Picaretta. Read this. And as you read this, you begin to understand, this is what John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. You're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. God is doing this. And all he's asking of us to do is to give our yes, to give our fiat to it. Volume 28, 11:30, 19:30, I was making my round in the creation, praying the rounds of creation to follow the acts that the divine fiat does in the created things. And I arrived at Eden. And again, there's no time or space in the divine will. And Jesus says to Louisa, the main gift that I give to my children is bilocation, but it's not the bilocation of the saints. Don't confuse that. Jesus takes us where he wants to bring us. So Louisa is saying this, I arrived at Eden. You can go back to the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, all the animals are still there. All the plants are still there. Nothing dies in the Garden of Eden because it's the Garden of Eden. And nothing inanimate is there. Everything is alive. Everything is living. And that's our home. That's why when you listen to Our Lady of Revelation, what she said to Bruno, my children, she says, are going back to the garden, going back to eternity, going back to where they're supposed to live. Well, the children of Lucifer, Lucifer and his children will be always stuck in time and space. We're going to be freed of time and space. And this is an amazing thing. You can go back to Golgotha. You can go back to Bethlehem. You can go to Cana. You can go to Capernaum. You can be with Jesus throughout his life at 10 years old, at 15 years old, at 20 years old, at 27 years old. You can be with Jesus and Mary. Your memory is going to be of Jesus. Your memory is going to be of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. It's not going to be of what they said or what they did to me or my family. Jesus says you're going to be freed of that. You're going to live a peaceful, joyful life as the little family of Nazareth. This is so amazing. And as I arrived at Eden, okay. Let me see if I'm on the right. Okay. And as I arrived at Eden, it seemed to me that my love of Jesus was waiting for me. See, Jesus took her there to be able to communicate to me the love, the goodness, the sanctity, the power, and everything he did in creating Adam, pouring all of himself into Adam to the point of filling Adam completely with himself and with all his divine qualities. So much so that the point of overflowing outside, giving him the task, is the highest honor for Adam to avail himself of God's love, God's goodness, God's sanctity, God's power in order to carry out his life in the very goods of the one triune God who had created him. And then again, this is what's going to happen to us when we go there. I felt as though soaked with the divine qualities. See, Jesus wants us to see how much he loves mankind. And my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter, Adam was created to be inseparable from God. We are created to be inseparable from God. God isn't living 1,000 million miles away. He wants us to be one with him, fused with him. Again, fusing is welding. It's welded, never to be broken. My daughter, Adam was created to be inseparable from God, and Adam is not known and loved. And if God is not known or loved, it is precisely because they think that God is the being far away from man, as if we had nothing to do, either he with us or God with him. To believe God far away causes God to be dispersed from man. And that's the lie that the evil one gives us, that God is far from us. As Catholics, Jesus is in every church. The little flame that's there near the tabernacle tells us that. Yet the churches are empty. Go back to church. If you can't have adoration like Peter's doing here, go spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord every day. You fall more and more and more in love with our God. Everything that God had created Adam, our very divine qualities remain weak and suffocated for many as if they had no life. Well, our divinity is not far away, but close, even more inside of mankind. God is inside of us. In all his acts, we are actors and spectators. even sin. God says, I don't want to be there, but you imprison me. You scourge me again. You nail me to the cross again when you sin. When we get to heaven, this is what the saints have told us. When we get to heaven, we're going to see a crucified God, a God who cannot die, died. That was the plan of the Father. To save us, somebody had to die. And he chose his son. And his mother had a sword of sorrow pierce her heart. The new Adam and the new Eve went through this for us. Vine 29, 3, 6, 1931. So this abyss of light that you see contains an abyss of divine joy, of divine power, of divine beauty, of divine love, and so on. And we, triune God, while delighting, rest in them. Because only when nothing is lacking and there's nothing to add, then it can be called a true and absolute rest. This is the seventh day. In sacred scripture, there's no morning of the morning. There's no morning of the seventh day. There's no nor evening of the seventh day. Why? It's now. We're in the seventh millennium. It's now. It's now we are going to rest in God. Why? Everything's going to be completed. The completion of creation, the completion of redemption, the completion of sanctification. For all eternity, we're going to enjoy this. On the other hand, outside our divinity, our work comes out into the field, and this field is mankind, the creatures. And our very divine qualities that are inside of us gives us rest. Outside of ourselves gives us work. And now we, triune God, make our divine will work for the good of mankind, of all creatures. Everything's being prepared. We haven't seen anything yet. Some people say the best is yet to come. Volume 29, 3, 9, 1931. But hear, my daughter, the excess of our love. Before creating Adam, we were not content with having externalized our love only in creation, but it reached to such an extent that putting out our divine qualities from our divine being, we put out oceans of power, seas of power, and we loved him in our power and seas, oceans of sanctity, oceans of beauty, oceans of love, and so forth. And we, triune God, loved Adam in our divine sanctity, in our divine being, in our divine love. And these oceans, these seas, were to serve to invest mankind, invest Adam first and all mankind, so that Adam would find in all our divine qualities these oceans of our divine powerful love that would love us with powerful love, with holy love, with love of enrapturing beauty. Therefore, when these oceans, these seas of our divine qualities were put out of ourselves, we created Adam. Everything was made for the love of man. Everything. The whole universe was made for the love of man. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to begin to understand this. Enriching Adam with our divine qualities for as much as he could contain so that he too would have an act that could echo. Get the echo book. These are all the prayers of Luisa of the echo book. With our divine power, with our divine love, with our divine goodness, to be able to love us with our same divine qualities. We wanted Adam, not a servant, but a son, not poor, but rich, not outside of our goods, but inside our divine inheritance. That's volume 20 through volume 36. How to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Everything's going to be amazing. And as confirmation of this, we, triune God, gave Adam our very divine will as life and as law. And this is the reason why we love the creature so much, because Luisa has from our own not to love one's things outside of nature and against reason. So that's what's coming back. We are also possessing this. We're not going to love one's things outside of nature and against reason. It's going to be everything. We're going to understand and live this abundant life. When you think about it, it's humans today act worse than animals because we're outside of nature. We're outside of the law of God. We're really working against divine reason. And Jesus is saying, I'm calling you back. This is why we have the dogma and doctrine of our faith. We have to begin to think with the mind of Christ. We have to begin to understand things with the mind of Christ. If we don't, we're outside of divine reason and we act worse than animals. 5:28, 29, 3:16, 19:31. Look at the heavens that extend everywhere and have all created things under their azure vault, ruling over all in such a way that no one can escape their sight and their rule. The stars that, though from down below they appear small, up above are so great. And with such variety of colors and beauty, they have a symphony of their vertiginous race with all creation, and as to form one of the most beautiful musics, their motions, their sounds are so sweet and vibrant that they cannot be compared to any of the most beautiful musics of earth down here. These stars seem to live of heaven, so much so that they are identified with the heavens, symbols of the soul who shall live in the divine will. They shall be so intimate and identified with God as to receive all the varieties of the divine qualities and live of them in such a way as to form the most beautiful ornaments of heaven to their creator. Everything, again, like I keep on saying, we haven't seen anything yet. We are going to participate in all that God has created as true sons and daughters of God. That's what our God has planned. And what he is getting ready, he's getting ready for a new and abundant life. And that's what St. John Paul said, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. There is going to be a new beginning, and it's close. That's why everything's falling apart. Everything's falling apart because God is closing one door and opening another. Get ready. Be peaceful, joyful, and happy. There's nothing to be afraid of. Only if you're in the state of sin and you're separated from Jesus and his church, I would be terrified. I would be terrified. We have the sacrament of confession, sacrament of penance. Make that part of your Catholic life. Go to confession each week if you can. And if your pastors, your priests are not there, tell them, hey, I want to go to confession and help them come back. Because when you go to confession, you give grace to a priest who then is performing his duties as priest. So confession, don't make excuses. This is your right. This is your duty. Confession is a very, very important part of the Catholic faith. 5:16, 19:31. Our divinity of our spontaneous will is under the empire of divine love that runs irresistibly, for it wants to give to the creature, so much so that in creating Adam, Adam was created in our ardor of love by the touches of our divine qualities. Our divine being was pure spirit and had neither hands nor feet. Our divine qualities serve us as hands in order to form Adam, to pour over Adam like a mighty torrent. We molded Adam, and touching Adam, we infused in Adam the effects of our supreme qualities. These touches have remained in mankind. And this is why certain beautiful qualities of goodness, of integrity, of intelligence, and so forth can be seen in mankind. They are the virtue of our divine touches that, continuing to mold mankind, produces their effects. They are our pledges of love with which we, Triune God, needed Adam, that even though he does not remember and perhaps does not even know us, continues their perennial office of loving mankind. even if I was listening to some people talking about what's coming, and they have no idea about the divine will, but they were so close to it. Why? Jesus is getting everybody ready for what's coming. And when the souls begin to learn about the divine will, everything changes for mankind. Because then they begin to understand how much we can't do anything on our own. We're going to participate one with God in God's image and likeness. We are nothing without God. Yet with God, we are everything. And that's what's happening. As you begin, you're going to hear the Buddhists, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Protestants, the Jews, you're going to hear them getting very close to speaking of the divine will. They don't know it yet, but they're going to know it. Everyone, Jesus says in volume 24, everyone will become Catholic. Everyone has to go back to that universal life that was breathed into Adam. That's why Jesus and Mary came to earth, to give back this Catholic life, this universal life. And as we begin to enter into this gift, what happens is you're going to understand divine reason. You're going to be thinking with the mind of Christ, and you're going to say, of course, of course, of course, we have to be Catholic. We have to have this universal life. Great things are right around the corner. And since when one touches an object or a person, the one who touches feels the impression of the person touched, just as our divine touches of the divine qualities remain in mankind, so did the impression of having touched Adam remained in our supreme qualities. So we try and God feel Adam within us, and how not to love mankind. Therefore, whatever man might do, we go toward him with new devices of love and with our purest, pleasant refrain of loving mankind always, always, always. Everyone that survives is going to be Catholic, because this is the universal life that God wanted from the beginning. Volume 29, 6, 8, 1931. The creature, by reminding us of what we did in creation, this is when you pray your rounds of creation and even rounds of redemption, puts in feast our love, our power, our creative wisdom, that with such great intimidable mastery had created the whole universe. And then the mastery in creating Adam that surpasses everything. So all our divine qualities makes feast, and looking at this creature by whose memory and whose little requital of love they were put into feast, they compete among themselves, and one redoubles for her the love, one the goodness, one the sanctity, and some each one of our divine qualities wants to give of its own to repeat with Louisa what we, Triune God, did in creation. So all of us who are praying the rounds, we're praying with Louisa, the love, the goodness, the sanctity of God. We're giving it back to God through what Jesus taught Louisa. So learn to pray the rounds. Volume 29, 8:30, 1931. My daughter, ugly is the human nature that lives without my divine will, because it was created by the Supreme Being to live united together with the divine fiat. We were created to live with the divine will. This is why Pope St. John Paul says, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. Don't just laugh it off. Don't just say he didn't know what he was talking about. God is getting us ready to live this new and divine way of holiness. All of these beautiful qualities are present in the creature because they were placed by God as within a aquarium. But they are present outside of their place. The human nature, without the divine will, transforms itself ugly, turns it upside down, and disorders it with wages of war against her creator, her God. That's what you're seeing right now. Without the divine will, mankind is ugly. It's upside down. It's backwards. It's falling apart. But Jesus says, enter into my divine will and everything will be reordered again. That's what we're doing. We're living the peace, the joy, the happiness of heaven. So if without our divine will, the human nature is ugliness, united with ours, it is of rare and enchanting beauty. You see what he's saying? Rare and enchanting beauty. Its creation, its seeds of light was placed in it by us, triune God, and our fiat, more than a tender mother, extends its wings of light over the seed and caresses it, delights it, kisses it, nourishes it, makes it grow, and communicates to it. This is the heavenly Jerusalem. This is the wedding feast of heaven, with its light, with its heat, and all its varieties of divine beauties. And the human nature receives the participation, remains under the mighty and continuous influence of a divine strength, a divine sanctity, a divine love, fully, fully divine, and grows divinely beautiful. It grows divinely lovable and is admirable to all. That's what God wants us to participate in. What a great God we have. Volume 29, 1931. Since it was not only our love that poured out in creating Adam, but all of our divine qualities, therefore divine power, the divine goodness, the divine wisdom, the divine beauty, and so forth, poured out upon Adam. So our love was not content with loving him, but pouring out all of our divine qualities on Adam. It left the table always prepared and at man's disposal, so that each time man wanted, he could come to sit at the celestial table to nourish himself with our divine goodness, our divine power, our divine beauty, our divine love, our divine wisdom, and so grow before us with our same divine qualities, with the model of our divine likeness. That's what God gave to Adam. He could go back there anytime he wanted. But he chose to listen to lies. And therefore, he lost all of this. So Jesus comes to earth to redeem us with his mother. And now 2,000 years later, he says, I want to bring you back to where you were before the fall. And each time Adam would come into our presence to take a sip of our divine qualities, we would rock him on our knees to let him take rest and let him digest what he had taken, so that he might again nourish himself with our divine outpourings to form his complete growth of divine goodness, of divine power, divine sanctity, divine beauty, of our love desired and our divine will wanted. That's what he's asking of us. Do you desire this? Do you want this? Jesus says, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to all those that want it. And you can have it 30, 60, or 100 fold. Whatever you want, whatever you're striving for, I'm going to give it to you. Don't limit God. Don't say this is not for me, because then God says, yes, it's not for you. You don't want it. It's to want it. It's to desire it. It's to possess it. So we'll end there, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.